for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
JJ and Alex rolling into the 4 o'clock hour on a Friday. Hope you're enjoying the start of your weekend, a Final Four weekend. Jeremiah Jensen, Sam Farnsworth in for Alex Carey today.
Rolling right along.
I have good news for Utah State Aggie fans. If you haven't heard yet, remember last week Mason Falslev had entered the transfer portal. Well, he's not in the transfer portal anymore. Mason Falslev is running it back.
Run it back!
Once an Aggie, always an Aggie, he says on his Instagram, hashtag committed. So, Jared Calhoun, with his first recruiting victory, having to recruit his own players, but welcome to college basketball in 2024, and he's got Mason Falslev coming back. Now, if he can pull off a great Osabor return.
Right. That would be amazing. Maybe Mason can play a role. I don't know. Look, I remember when I talked to Mason in Indianapolis, I asked him what it meant to him to get that win out there being a Cache Valley kid. And he talked about growing up, watching Utah State games, watching them get close but not quite over the hump, and to be a part of it. I mean, it just feels like Aggie DNA is all over Mason Falslev. It's in his veins, right? This is where he's supposed to be. So I'm glad it worked out for him to stick around.
A lot of work to be done to build that roster and keep as many of those guys back in the fold. I think it's going to take a lot of money to keep Great Osabor here and away from Washington or many other places. But the work is underway, and at least that's good news right there. Mason Falslev returning to Utah State next season. For an incredible selection of Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram, visit Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how like Doug. Hey, Doug. The Final Four, it is here, both men and women. That is the cut at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And joining us right now live to get us ready for the Final Four is Connor Hope of Heat Check College Basketball. Connor, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First off, I just want to get your overall take on the four teams in the group. Obviously, some surprises there and teams that weren't a surprise. What do you make of this four-team Final Four on the men's side?
It's fantastic. Obviously, NC State is the prize team of the tournament. But being out here, talking to some of the players, you ask them if they're surprised that they're here. They're not. So it's gonna be great. I think we have at least the two best teams in the country all season in Purdue and UConn, an Alabama team that can shoot the hell out of the ball, plays a very unique and very exciting style of basketball, and then DJ Burns, probably the sweetheart of this tournament. If he wasn't on everyone's radar coming in, he certainly is now. And that NC State team, I think, is just they're showing so much joy and playing with so much joy that it's fun to watch.
I mean, of course, they're not going to say they're surprised to be there, right? They believe in themselves. They know they can be. And, hey, we're looking at a great run that they've had. But what are the odds they get past Purdue and keep the run going? Or is it just inevitable it's Purdue and UConn?
I think we're on a collision course for Purdue-UConn. But I do think that NC State's going to show Purdue some things that maybe they haven't seen all that much this season. DJ Burns joked earlier yesterday that Zach Edey hasn't seen a center that can put the pressure on him on his defensive end of the floor outside of Burns. And while it was kind of said in a joking manner by Burns, he's not that wrong. Outside of Grand Ike for Gonzaga, Purdue really hasn't seen an elite low post scorer at the five position. So they can throw, the NC State can throw some things at Purdue that maybe forces Edey to get out of his comfort zone defensively and put some pressure on the Boilermakers. But Purdue and UConn have just been steamrolling teams in this tournament. And really, I think we're going to see them ultimately face off on Monday.
UConn has been a phenomenal story. They have a chance to win back-to-back titles, and somewhat quietly, I think, because they don't have like this massive star power where these recognizable guys you see on commercials, like you're looking on the women's side with Caitlin Clark. I don't think, you know, casual people could name several players on that UConn roster, but they've been so dominant, so good, well-coached by Danny Hurley. For people that aren't familiar, why has this UConn team been so good and so dominant this year?
They share the ball so well. They don't care who scores as long as the ball goes through the net. They've got five players who are in the top 500 in the country in assist rate. They've got a bunch of players who just shoot the ball. I think they have three or four players that are in the top 500 for three-point percentage. Obviously, having Donovan Klingon on the defensive end is one of the biggest difference makers in college basketball. And you say they don't have star power. They don't. They don't have the recognizable names. But that starting five, there's not a single player outside of maybe Cam Spencer in that starting five that would shock me if they had like a reasonably good NBA career.
Mm. You talked about DJ Burns being the sweetheart. I want to go back to him just for a second of this NCAA tournament run and how confident he is going up against the massive mass of a human that Zach Edey is and being able to stop him. If DJ Burns is able to box Edey out, keep him off the boards, then shouldn't he entertain a career in the NFL and on the offensive line? I kind of joke, but I mean, what is DJ's future in basketball? Does he have a future in basketball, or do you think that all those talks of him maybe going to the NFL, maybe that's a route for him?
No, DJ and Coach Keith put a pretty quick, swift end to the NFL talk. He doesn't see himself as being built to play in the NFL. Outside of his size, I kind of agree. But his finesse at the five this season, being able to pull defenders out away from the paint, pass the ball, you know, I think that could open up the lane for some of NC State's scores against Purdue in a way that you didn't really get from the bigs of Tennessee or even the bigs of Gonzaga for that matter in the second half. But I think he's a basketball player. Look, he has a unique style. He doesn't look like he's built to play basketball. But then when you watch him play and you watch him with the skill set he has, it's not going to be an NBA career necessarily, but he'll make a pretty decent living playing overseas in some premier international basketball league.
Zach Edey wins his second straight AP Player of the Year award. I think he goes underappreciated because he's playing in an era where we all talk about three-pointers and spreading the floor and guard play. He's kind of a throwback, but it's certainly working for Purdue. What makes Zach Edey so special at his size, and is it going to be enough for Purdue to upset UConn and get that win if they do make the national championship game?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it. The size helps, right? Zach Edey is 7'4", 300 pounds. I think Painter put it best. I mean, 6'9", 250 is big, and that's 7 inches shorter and 50 pounds lighter than Edey. But Edey also has touch around the rim. He's an incredibly smart player, doesn't take dumb fouls, knows where his positioning needs to be, knows how to reset the three-second count in the lane so that he can, quote, camp in the lane without actually violating any rules. And I just think his throwback style is so successful because he is so good, because it takes fouls, it takes physical defense, it takes three or four guys to ultimately slow him down to the tune of maybe he doesn't score 20, maybe he doesn't get 15 rebounds. And then obviously Purdue shooting around him helps to take the pressure off a little bit so that he gets himself into a lot of those one-on-one situations in the low post where you get him one-on-one with an average low post defender, and it's kind of game over from there.
Connor, we've been talking about it the last couple of days here on the show, just the data that came out with the resale value of tickets for the Final Four and the women's value more than $1,000 than the men's Final Four. What's that say about the game this year? Obviously, we know about the star power of Caitlin, but the women's game overall.
Yeah, I mean, it's been fantastic. And it's not just Caitlin Clark. It's It's Angel Reese, who I know is no longer in the tournament. It's Paige Beckers. It's Cameron Brink. It's the undefeated South Carolina team led by one of the greatest current coaches in basketball on either side, men's or women, in Dawn Staley. Women's basketball is in a great place, and I'm not going to get into politicking the size of the arena, but the fact that there are people who are willing to spend four figures just to be at the games, to me, shows that women's basketball is not just on the rise, but it's you know, at a place and at a peak that we've never seen before.
It's great to see, and Caitlin Clark in particular, I'm trying to rack my brain as to the last time we've seen a college basketball star, men or women, be this popular and this mainstream. She's on State Farm commercials. She's doing Gatorade commercials. I don't see a lot of men's college basketball players in these ads. When's the last time you remember a player, men or women, capture this much attention and hype in the college game?
You could make an argument for Zion Williamson. It's probably Breonna Stewart during her four championship run at UConn, where you really saw a player that universally everyone could point to and say, that's a player that's going to go down as one of the greatest of all time. And her ability to see her shot go through and then not miss and take those confident deep threes, beat people off the dribble, share the ball in transition, like use her magnetism as an offensive weapon to pull in defenders and find open cutters to the basket. It's fantastic to watch. It's fantastic basketball. And she's willing to put herself out there and be the face of women's college basketball, which is something that's been missing, I think, from the women's game for the past couple of years. So it's she's a joy to watch. She'll go down as one of the greatest of all time. And I think, even when she gets to the WNBA, there's still going to be a certain level of hype that I think she carries with her that maybe other stars of the college game haven't been able to.
It's certainly been great for the women's college game. I love to see it. It's such a great product right now at this point, and I can't wait to see these games Friday and Sunday. I flip on the men's side, though. Where is the star power on the men's side? Why do you think it is that we're talking about the stars on the women's side? And, you know, I know we could sit here and talk about the great players. We talked about Zach Edey. We talked about DJ Burns and some of these guys. But the casual viewer, somebody out there, they may have trouble naming the top two or three best college basketball players on the men's side. Why is that?
I think part of it is the way that the transfer portal has opened up the game. You have Zach Edey, who people might think plays a boring style of basketball. So why would I want to watch him? You have Dalton Knecht, the second best player in college basketball, who started out as a junior college player. You have TJ Shannon, who had to miss part of the season with his legal issue. Like, it's not a strong NBA draft class, so you don't even have that. And the top players in the game don't jump off the screen at you in the way that a Zion Williamson did or an Anthony Davis did. They play good fundamental basketball. They play good offense. They play sound defense, but they don't pull the attention to themselves. And you look at the top two teams, Purdue and UConn, and those teams don't care who shoots the ball. So Zach Edey will get his 20 points, but if it's Lance Jones taking six threes, they're just fine with that. For UConn, they don't care who takes the shot. So you don't have the top teams really pushing a star outside of Zach Edey, who, again, people don't like his style a lot of the time. And I think that hurts him when it comes to his status as the face of the game.
Speaking of star power, Bronny, right? I mean, his dad's the star, but everyone's been talking about Bronny, and he's going to be this next big thing. Well, after 1 year in college basketball, you know, the numbers, they don't really pop out off the page at you or anything, but now he's talking about entering the draft, entering the portal. He's kind of keeping all those options open. Where do you see Bronny James playing next season? Is he going to be in the NBA, or is he going to be on a mid-major out there or another power conference team?
Yeah, I think he'll probably wind up somewhere in college basketball. I think there's still development to his game, especially on the offensive end, that needs to happen. And And frankly, you know, he's not in a position where he has to go to the league, the association this year. You know, he's not a lottery pick or anything like that. And for as much as people want to criticize the role that his dad has played in the trajectory of his career, of Bronny's career, LeBron James is smart enough to recognize when the right moment is for his son to make a jump to the league. And I think that's not this year. It's probably in a year or two.
Coaching carousel continues in college basketball. We've seen a lot of changes. We even saw one here in Utah with Danny Sprinkle moving on to Washington, and Utah State hires Jared Calhoun. What do you know about Jared Calhoun, and what do you think of that hire?
I'm close friends with a guy who works closely with Calhoun. He's a fantastic coach. He really buys into the analytics. He buys into making sure you craft sets opponent by opponent. He hasn't had necessarily the most talented teams at Youngstown State, but he's still found a way to get the Penguins to success in their conference. So I think Calhoun was a great hire for Utah State. And you know, while he might not bring the bravado that Danny Sprinkle certainly had in his year at Utah State, I think Utah State fans should be pretty excited about the caliber of basketball that's going to be put on the court.
One guy's name who pops up in those coaching searches that's connected to our state is Mark Pope. His name's popped up, you know, multiple times in the past. Again this year, connected to a few different coaching searches out there. He's still sticking around BYU Provo. He's, you know, from my perspective, he's a great fit for what BYU wants to do and for what he's doing in Provo. But it seems like the writing's on the wall that somewhere down the road, he's going to take one of those big-time leaps. You know, he's a Kentucky guy. Maybe that job is his someday. I don't know. What do you see for the future of a guy like Mark Pope?
Yeah, I think what Mark Pope has been able to do, especially this year in the jump to the Big 12, given the kind of the restrictions with the recruiting that he can do for BYU and the guys that he can actually get into the BYU program, he's a great coach, right? He didn't win the WCC, but he was also pitted against a Hall of Fame coach in Mark Few and another top 20 coach in Randy Bennett, who've been there, done that. But BYU was right there for most of his time in the WCC. They were competitive in the Big 12. I don't know where he ends up next. I think if a big shiny object of a job jumps out and reaches out to him, he might take it just to maybe allow himself to get to the next level. But I agree with you. I think it's been at BYU has been fantastic. He's been able to kind of maximize what those BYU rosters can really be.
Before I let you go, Connor,
I want to ask you to get your predictions. I want to give you a chance to say who you think is going to win the men's Final Four. Who wins the women's Final Four?
So I think, like I said, I think we're on a collision course for UConn, Purdue. I think ultimately whoever wins the matchup between Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon will decide that game. I picked Purdue before the season. I picked Purdue before the tournament. But at this point in time, it's nearly impossible to pick against UConn the way they've played the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to say UConn over Purdue. And then on the women's side, I'm going to say that South Carolina beats NC State. I think UConn women's runs out of gas with all the injuries that they've had now going against the best player in college basketball and Caitlin Clark. I think they run out of steam in the Final Four. We'll get the Caitlin Clark and Iowa versus the undefeated South Carolina matchup that everyone wants to see. But Dawn Staley is the best in the game for a reason. I think South Carolina is going to end up cutting down the nets.
Another undefeated season for South Carolina would be a remarkable accomplishment. And to do it against Caitlin Clark in Iowa would make it even greater. Connor, thanks so much. Perfect primer for the Final Four this weekend, both men and women. Enjoyed it. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Have a good one.
All right, that's Connor Hope from Heat Check College Basketball. To go check out their website.
Good stuff.
Great stuff there, especially if you're into the numbers. They do a great job. HeatCheckCBB.com. Always great to have Connor on the show. Always great to have Tom Curl on the show. It's always great to be at the warehouse. I wish I was there at the warehouse today, but we're in studio. Tom is in Arizona. We still have some boom deals, Tom. What do you got this week?
I've got an incredible deal, and I want to real quickly talk about one of the best deals I've done on the nicest mattress. We talked about this last time you're down at the store, JJ. This is a split king deal. These mattresses, for one side, they're $2,700 each side on Amazon. If you want to come down and get a proper demonstration, we'll show you how an adjustable bed can truly, it'll change your life. And if you're not sleeping well, it affects your work. If you're a student, it affects your studies. If you are somebody's significant other, it affects your relationship. Bad sleep is the best way to have bad health. That's the way I like to put it. We can help you change all of that with a proper adjustable bed demonstration. Find out what works for you, and then take advantage of this deal. Amazon sells that for $2,799 per side. So that's $5,600 for the mattresses. Then the bases are $1,200 per side. That's an additional $2,400. So $56, that's $8,000. Okay. I'm going to do this entire deal. The bases are Liggett and Platt. They have all the bells and whistles for $29.99.
Split king?
$5,000 savings. And this one-touch zero gravity, if you have a snore, one-touch, get you a snore-free position. This is the king of all kings, and we can do it for you. You know what? That's not good enough, JJ.
Oh, you're going to take it up a notch.
It's not good enough.
Okay.
This make it a little bit better. I'll do the whole setup for $24.99, and I will give you two gel-infused $149 pillows. That's another $300 free. So now it's an $8,300 package for $2,499. I see this price they typed with me. It's not good enough for Zone listeners. It's not good enough for my customers. Let's give them a little bit more discount. Once again, if you need financing, we'll take care of you. Come and see us. This is the biggest madness sale that we've ever done.
Boom. Those are boom deals. That's a massive deal. Trust me on the adjustable bed. Tom sold me on that. I am all in. I'm getting one soon. So go check it out at the warehouse, 1825 South, 300 West in Salt Lake City. Don't miss out on that deal and many others. The adjustable mattress is the way to go, and you can get one right now at the warehouse this weekend. How many more days, Tom, for that deal?
We're going to do it through Monday night.
There you go. Got till Monday night at 8 o'clock to get that deal done. Tom, thanks. We'll do it again in a half hour.
Thanks, Jeremiah.
Another boom deal with Tom at the warehouse. JJ and Alex rolls on after this. The latest on the Arizona Coyotes. Could they really be on the move, and could they be coming here? We have more details on that coming up next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When TV and radio collide.
Love it. Wow.
This is what you get. You're listening to JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars.
Don't touch that dial!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Schmidt moves between the circle. Shot. He scores! Nick Schmaltz has scored in the shootout, and the Coyotes get the win on opening night.
Can you imagine that happening on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone?
Amazing.
I mean,
I'm lacing up skates right now.
Maybe that could happen. Maybe sooner than we think. Coyotes hockey in Utah. It's been a dream. The NHL to Utah is a dream. Could be the Coyotes, could be something else, but a lot of stuff's been going on down in Arizona this week as far as the Coyotes go. Sam, the land sale, the auction, I guess you could say. They're still waiting for that to happen. There's just a lot of uncertainty with this. But then a bombshell, I guess, dropped yesterday, a report by John Gambadoro of Arizona Sports, our sister station down in Arizona, Bonneville Company there as well. So we have the benefit of hearing that audio that he explained. He broke the story that the owner, Marullo, has been shopping the team. Both in Arizona and out, he'd like $1 billion in a sale. And that was interesting because we already know that we've heard Ryan Smith has offered $1 billion for an NHL franchise.
That seems to match up, doesn't
it?
Kind of does.
So you can read that entire report from Gambadoro and Arizona Sports on KSLSports.com. Mm-hmm. So they have all the details there. We went into it in detail yesterday, but today we're going to hear from Gambadoro, who has been on the radio in Phoenix for 27 years. He knows that market.
He's connected.
He's well connected down there. He's got good sources on this, and this is what he said about the latest on that situation.
My belief, based on the people I talk to, is that, you know, he is pushing more for, okay, you know, we can't play three more years in a college arena. This isn't going to work. I don't even have any guarantees that you're going to win the land auction. And even if you win it, are you going to be able to build this thing? So I think, although he has shown a tremendous amount of patience here in keeping the team here because of the market value, because of the television, the market value of Phoenix compared to Salt Lake or anywhere else, I think he may have run out of patience. I think that there are some behind-the-scenes things going on. They've definitely been in discussion with Ryan Smith and told him that he's in the picture. And but I couldn't get any confirmation on that end that anything was imminent, although I had a source here tell me something could happen within the next week. But now the Coyotes are saying that at the end of June, there's the land auction, and they're going to try to win that thing. Now, you know, I was also told that Bettman may have told Morello that, you know, we'll move the team, and if you get the land, we could give you the expansion team. You know, you could buy the expansion team. You know, sell the team for whatever he sells it for, and then use that money to buy an expansion team. That's something that's been told to me, too. But again, the only thing that I went with that I was completely comfortable going with in my story was that Alex Morello has reached out to people in Arizona and out of the state about purchasing the team from him. So that was the main story. Everything else I'm giving you is just background on stuff that I've heard and things like that. But the story that we went with is that he has sought out potential buyers. And that's a fact. He has sought out potential buyers.
Fact. Interesting. So there you go. That's the report. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Makes zero sense to wait until the land auction in June.
You can't.
None. The NHL camp and preseason starts the third week of September. You can't wait till June and then be like, that's not going to work. We better move. Yeah, 2.5 months before your season begins. I mean, you can't wait until then. Decision has to be made before then.
No doubt about it. And I think that apparently there was a unpublicized deadline date on this as far as getting a resolution. And the Gary Bettman didn't want a pipe dream or a theory about what they're doing. He wanted concrete details. They don't have them.
No.
They're hoping, they're preying on this auction for land. So if you win, we don't even know when exactly that auction is going to take place.
No.
They're waiting. They thought it was going to be in March. And now they're waiting. And he's waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's an auction. That's playing
someone
the lottery.
I've seen people out there posting on social media, you know, Ryan Smith bidding to win the land auction just to block them from getting the land so he can get the team here, right? I mean, I think that's funny, but
you're right. R. Smith is put a bid in.
Yeah, there's zero guarantee they even win the land. And it's funny because it feels like every time there's some sort of speculation or announcement or rumor or report that the Coyotes could be sold, could be moved, anything like that, it feels like the Coyotes themselves, they post something. And last night, after our show went off the air, the Coyotes posted something.
Yeah.
They posted, this, we've got a new district that'll be anchored by a multi-purpose sport and entertainment arena that will serve as the new permanent home of the team. It'll be the first ever privately funded sports arena. Yeah, right. And then, of course, they jump on some AI art generator really quick and Google, give me an aerial shot of an arena surrounded by hotels and restaurants in the middle of the desert, and they post that picture. See, we've got a rendering. And it's just like, come on. They're scrambling every time there's a report that's coming out. They're scrambling to try to keep the faith of their fan base.
If they can afford to build a new arena, privately funded,
yeah.
Why haven't they done it already?
No kidding.
So suddenly they're going to have this ton of money to be able to build an arena privately when they win this land deal?
Where does that happen anywhere? That never happen. That doesn't happen
anymore.
I
feel bad for Coyotes fans. I think there's a great fan base of hockey in Phoenix that have – they've supported this team that, to be quite honest, has let them down again and again and again. It's one of the worst franchises in the sport because of stuff like this. It's just been poorly managed, and they have not been able to take care of business. This is embarrassing for the Coyotes. I feel bad, though, for the fans because this is – I mean, anybody can take a certain amount of logic and realize they're never going to get this done.
Right.
This team has no choice but to sell and get in. And obviously, if they sell it to Ryan Smith, he's going to move it to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Gary Bettman, like, do we want to continue to play this game?
Right.
This pipe dream of of an arena in Arizona? Or do we want the sure thing, force the sale? I don't need to force it, but encourage the sale to Ryan Smith. Move this team to Utah now, where they can play in front of at least 13,000 fans. And then we all know that the legislature has already approved funding for the brand new mega arena that's going to come here. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has already publicly endorsed, and when do you remember the church publicly endorsing the building of an arena in a downtown project like this? It's just, there's so much going for this happening and the momentum coming that'll bring this to Utah. In fact, Gambadoro talks about the fact that Utah is probably in a really good position to get this team.
They've got a great general manager in Bill Armstrong. And what they have that I think would benefit, you know, wherever they go, more so than even an expansion franchise. The excitement of an expansion franchise, it's yours. It was never anybody else's. You get this, you know, it's yours from the beginning. That's a lot, you know, that's a lot of excitement. But what they have is they've got a lot of draft picks coming up, guys. You know, they've got two second rounders, three third rounders, two fourth rounders this year, and then four second rounders next year. They've traded away a lot of their players over the last few years and built up a lot of assets. They've got 9 second round picks in the next 3 years, plus all their first round picks, plus 7 third round picks. So they've got some good players, young players. They've got Josh Doan, the son of Shane Doan. They've got Dylan Gunther, good young player. Logan Cooley, good young player. Clayton Keller's been in the league for a while. He's been an all-star numerous times. So they have, you know, the makings of a competitive team, and what they have is a tremendous amount of assets going forward that can really rebuild it in a hurry because, you know, they probably got more assets than just about anybody else when it comes to, you know, first, second, and third round picks over the next 3 years. That could be very exciting for somebody.
Sound familiar? Sound like the current state of the Utah Jazz? Not winning a lot of games right now, missing the playoffs, but stockpile of picks, good young talent, building for the future. Sounds like the perfect fit.
One great thing about that, too, and look, we've seen the track record of expansion franchises in the NHL and the success that they've had, almost immediate success that some of them have had, right? However, a team, an existing team that already has a management in place, that has players in place, that has draft picks. This is already a moving project, I guess you could say. It's a team that's already
being
built.
Their rebuild is already underway.
It's already going on. It's not like you have to go from scratch here.
Yeah.
They've got pieces. They've got picks. They've got management. They've got decision makers. Just bring it to Salt Lake. Rebrand it. Give them some new colors and unis. Let's go.
And by the way, if you're going to rebrand this and you're going to have a new team in Utah, you can't wait any longer either.
No. Yeah, you got to jump on the ball with that, too.
You got to know very, very soon. And I we're getting ahead of ourselves with that.
Totally.
The purchase has to happen first, and the announcement has to be made that they're moving. But if they do, are they going to rebrand it right out of the gate?
Maybe
are they
going
to be the Coyotes for a year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because, look, rebranding takes time.
Yep.
You can't just like do that overnight.
You've seen it in the NBA. How long was New Orleans the Hornets before they?
Well, while well, look, the Tennessee Titans were the Tennessee Oilers for a couple seasons.
Right. I mean, I get it. If they come to Utah and they're the Utah Coyotes for a year or two, I get it.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think Ryan Smith really wants it. I think the fans really want to make it their own, and that would equal a rebrand somewhere down the road. And again, getting ahead of ourselves, but it just feels like this is happening, and I'm getting excited about it. I am on board, and I'm ready to ride this train all the way through.
Me too, Sam. I'm on board. I'm fired up. Can't wait for NHL hockey to come here. Let's hope this all works out. And again, I feel bad for the Arizona fans, but this is just the reality of the situation, and it's better financially for that franchise to be here, and hopefully they can get an expansion franchise in the future. But Utah is ready for NHL hockey. Ryan Smith is ready to make it happen, and let's go. Let's do it. Let's give the Coyotes a home they deserve, give them the arena they deserve, and give them the fans 13,000 strong each and every night that they deserve. Let's go. I nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. We have to take a short break on JJ and Alex. When we come back, a Utah football spring update. And is Kyle Whittingham the best coach in college football? ESPN has a poll. They have a top 10. We'll show you where Kyle Whittingham lands after this.
And now your Ute spring football update on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
No, I'm really excited, to be honest. I've got a couple homeboys that play in this conference that I've been wanting to play against for a long time, so I get the chance to do that. And really, I just take it with grace. They don't know us. We don't know them like that, so I just can't wait to see what it's going to be.
That's Utah cornerback, one of the defensive leaders, Samaya Vaughn. He's from Beaumont, Texas, so he's excited about going back to Big 12 country and Utah's transition into the Big 12 as they continue to work towards that. Here's your Utah football spring update. It's brought to you by America First Credit Union. Get the official debit cards of the Utah Jazz, University of Utah Sports, Real Salt Lake, and more exclusively at America First Credit Union. Let's hear more from Zamaya Vaughn, who talks about what he's sharing with the young cornerbacks on the roster.
It's going to take the whole room, all the corners together, because unfortunately, injury's going to happen. That's how I got my shine, you know. And it just happened, JT went down, Fabian went down, and I started playing. That was my first time playing with the injury. So I just tell them, like, always be ready, you know, because you don't never know when your time is coming.
And one of those young corners on the roster is Cam Calhoun, a transfer from Michigan, 6-foot, 177-pound cornerback from Cincinnati, Ohio. He's one of the guys that's trying to find his place on the depth chart. He talks about how he's already fitting in with the rest of the cornerback room.
I done connected well with all my boys here. Everybody get treated like family, and it's not a one-man show. And we know it's 11 on the field, and it's 11 when we off the field. We try to treat each other like brothers in between the lines and when we off the field.
That family atmosphere continues to be a positive, as always, for the Utah football program. Interesting article published here by ESPN. We'll get to this real quick before we get to back to the warehouse and Tom Curl. ESPN polled their reporters, their college football reporters, who are the top 10 coaches in college football. Sam, I'm going to count them down from 10 to 1. You stop me if you have any reactions to these.
Okay.
Number 10, Ryan Day, Ohio State. Number 9, Lance Leipold, Kansas.
Kansas. I think I just that name right there, that Kansas is mentioned in college football that high.
Yes, it is. Lance Leipold has a lot of respect.
Yep.
By the way, Kansas State head coach Chris Klieman's also on the also receiving votes list. Number 8, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin.
Wow.
It's interesting what he's at one point everybody kind of looked at him as a clown.
Right.
And now he's totally rejuvenated his coaching career, and he's built something at Ole Miss that's working, and it's great to see. We've even got a local. His quarterback is right here from Utah. Jackson Dart is killing it, and Jackson Dart's going to be one of the best players in the country, possibly a Heisman Trophy candidate, and headed to the NFL soon. But Lane Kiffin's got it going on at Ole Miss. Number 7, a BYU connection, Steve Sarkisian.
You mispronounced that. It's Garcese Garcesian.
All right, that's right. Garcese Garcesian of Texas. Thank you, Commissioner. Number six, Dan Lanning of Oregon.
Okay.
It's interesting. Some people might put him a little higher, but mm-hmm. I think it's a good spot. He's a younger coach, but he's accomplished a lot already. Number five, Mike Norvell, Florida State.
Yeah. I think, I'm cheating. I'm looking at the list, but I think we're in the range where these are about right.
Okay.
These next five, yeah.
Number four, Dabo Swinney, Clemson.
Good. Yeah. I'm still waiting for the next one.
Okay. But yes. Where's Kyle Whittingham on this list? Well, I'm about to tell you. He's number three.
Yeah.
Kyle awesome. Whittingham, number three on the list of top 10 coaches by ESPN.com. Number two is Kalen DeBoer of Alabama. How's that for a meteoric rise?
Yeah, no kidding. That one's a little maybe surprising for top two.
That is, although what he did last year was pretty impressive mm-hmm. with Washington. Turning that program around quickly. And number one, this is no surprise, now that Nick Saban is no longer in college football, Kirby Smart of Georgia is your number one on that list. So there you go. Kyle Whittingham, number three on ESPN.com's list, top 10 list of college football coaches. Tom Curl's on my top 10 list. Let's head out to the warehouse. And Tom, what do you got for us? What deals are you throwing at us this time?
Gosh, Kyle lives across the street from me. Kyle needs to be number two.
There you go. Well, he might be if they do what we think they're going to do this year and make the college football playoff.
Oh, let's hope so. My Cougars are my team, but I can cheer for Kyle any day he plays.
Absolutely. Why not? That's great.
All right. Let's give a coach Kyle Whittingham special right now.
There you go.
Everybody knows we're right next to my daughter's store, my daughter Ashley, and it is her birthday tomorrow. So I'm going to do something in honor of Ashley. Anybody out there who's searching for Ashley furniture this weekend, I don't care what you're looking for, we will be the best price in town. We guarantee it. So bring us the item number. When you get the item number, come in. We'll get you a price. If it is not better, we will beat any price that you have been given on that item. We get it from the same distribution center. It has the same warranty. Our delivery is cheaper. We have great financing opportunities. So let's celebrate in our madness week our daughter Ashley's birthday with a little Ashley sale. Now, let's make that a little bit better. I have one across the street, and I have one right next to us, just south of us, one of the warehouse clubs. I was told by Mike, one of my managers there at the store, that they have a special on a split king adjustable bed. This is a split king adjustable. They're selling it for $27.99. That's an incredible deal. I'm going to do a mattress that is similar. I think it's a little bit nicer mattress. Come in and check it out. I'm going to give you two pillows for free, and I'm going to do the entire package. Sit down, everybody. $1,000 cheaper than the warehouse club price for $1,700, a split king gel infused hybrid, or your choice, gel infused memory foam mattress. Boom. You can beat the warehouse club by $1,000, you're doing something right, JJ.
That is a boom deal. You are doing something right. Nobody beats the warehouse on prices, nobody. 1825 South, 300 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. These deals going until Monday night when you close at 8?
Monday night, we'll make it good. And don't forget, mention JJ and the KSL, the Zone Sports Radio, and we will give you the specials that we're offering today.
Boom. Do it. This is a perfect weekend to go get that new bed, any kind of furniture you're looking for. Nobody's going to beat the warehouse prices. Tom, thank you. We'll see you in another half hour. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, We'll roll into the 5 o'clock hour. You'll hear from John Walters, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, some college football talk, BYU and Utah in the Big 12. We'll get to know the Iowa State Cyclones a little bit better. They're coming to town to play the Utes in November. That and more coming up next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.